Blog Talk Radio.
I want to welcome everybody to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. Glad to be back in the Carolina Sports Plus studio. Glad to have this opportunity. God, it seems like a lot's happened since last week. So looking forward to we have a chance to sit down, talk sports with Mario. Hopefully he calls in here in a second. Running a little bit behind, had a couple things that I had to take care of real quick before I could make my way into the studio. So do apologize for the delay. But, give Mario a couple opportunities to call in before I get too far into this. Do want to thank Carolina Sports Plus. Make sure you guys go to our Facebook page, the 110 Nation Sports. It sounds like it's dinging. Like someone's touching a keyboard. It's really weird. It did it on the last show, too. Don't know where all of a sudden it's coming from. Our YouTube channel, the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Also, follow us on X at the 110 Nation. Don't forget, you guys can catch all our podcasts on all the major, or actually all anywhere you can find your podcast at. If it be Spotify, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Amazon, Spotify. I think I named that one already. iTunes, that was the other one I was missing. Make sure you guys follow us there. All you got to do is just search us, the 110 Nation or the 110 Nation Sports Show. It should pull you up in the 110 Nation. And just follow us on those different platforms. I'm trying to see if Mario is joining me here. There you go, the dinging again. Here we go, the dinging again. I guess I'll start off talking about my Browns. You know, I picked them to win the AFC North, and despite all the obstacles to this point so far, going into, as the Browns finished the comeback against the Baltimore Ravens, at that point, start feeling pretty good about this AFC North thing. 6-3, really don't have too tough of a schedule to finish out. A couple games that are going to be difficult, but for the most part, kind of don't have too hard of a schedule based on what we've seen the first half of the season with these teams. And then you wake up today and find out that Deshaun Watson had broken his shoulder like the second quarter. Played half a game, went 14 for 14, something like 136 yards and a touchdown with a broken shoulder. Probably the best he has played in any half of any game with Cleveland. And, you know, it wasn't enough that we lose Nick Chubb, who had never been hurt. I don't think he's ever missed a game. The number one running back in the entire NFL. And we lose him and finally figured out this whole run game, bringing Kareem Hunt back. Ford's been playing really well. And finally get Deshaun Watson back. You had P.J. Walker and DTR. They got us through some games. Like I said, you start feeling really confident after the comeback. I knew when he took that last hit late in the fourth, I think there was a minute, some change left, and it took him forever to get up. And as a matter of fact, Cleveland was charged with a timeout for an injury timeout. And something told me something wasn't right there. And I'd even asked a Browns fan came in the store and asked if there was any report or anything about it on Monday or Tuesday. And they, you know, they hadn't seen nothing. Like I said, you wake up today and it's just like, there's always next year kind of whole slogan, like really gets old. This one year I'd like to, when we finally have the pieces, to be able to not have injuries and all that other stuff. It seems like you just can't catch a break being a Browns fan. But, DTR is going to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Knowing it's season injury or season-ending surgery, that there will be no Deshaun Watson, period. So I don't know if Cleveland's going to pursue another backup, either an upgrade or at least so we got three quarterbacks on the roster in case something happens. But I don't know. A lot of the wind kind of went out the sail. Like, granted, we still have the number one defense. And in a lot of people's books, you got one of the MVP candidates, Myles Garrett, on the defense. Like, the defense is something special. And it's just horrible that you can't – you're not going to be able to put it all together. Like, if it ain't one thing, it's another. So – I felt pretty confident this weekend going in playing Pittsburgh. Unfortunately, that's all now gone away. I don't know. It's just crazy, crazy. I don't know. Anyway, I was hoping to kill a little time in hopes that Mario would come to the studio. I think he probably went to bed thinking we was never going to get this thing going tonight. Last night, Golden State. Oh, my Lord, Golden State. You got Klay Thompson. Got to get a little pushy with the Timberwolves player. It escalated really quick, 2 minutes into the game, and it escalated to the point that Rudy Gobert came over and tried to basically snatch up Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green comes out of nowhere and has now got Gobert in a whole headlock. Obviously, we're waiting to see what the suspensions are going to be, because we're all going to assume there's suspensions going on with this one. I think what's really funny about all this is the fact that Draymond Green is probably going to get suspended. Here we are, what, a couple weeks into the NBA season. And from all the reaction that I've seen, if it be shows, if it be social media, nobody seems surprised. Like, I don't think I saw one reaction, period, that made you believe that anybody was surprised that here we are, Draymond Green's probably going to miss a few games. I know it's crazy to me, like, we're at the norm. Like, it's kind of to be expected. Oh, Lord. I don't know. If it wasn't for the fact that it looked like Draymond Green was waiting for this opportunity with Gobert, I don't feel that maybe it was necessarily as bad as it sounds. I mean, granted, he did have him in a headlock, but Gobert was also wrapped his arms around Klay Thompson. So, I mean, one aspect of it, Draymond Green is coming to the rescue of one of the Splash Brothers, like one of the three that have kind of been the ride or die. But in the other aspect of it, when you just kind of watch him target going around, like just, it's like, yeah, you've been waiting for this. you was waiting for him just to slip up one time. All he had to do was just push the wrong way or say something like offensively bad at somebody, but like you had to throw a jab in there verbally to get that reaction or something. Like I saw you were like looking away from this been a thing already. So it was, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how the reaction is to the suspension when we get an actual game number count. I'm going to be real curious to see the reaction and if there's reason to why it's 2 games, 4 games, 10 games, whatever. I'm just throwing out numbers. If it's because he's been a repeat offender, or was it lighter because it looked like you weren't being aggressive, you were just coming to the defense of your player. Let's say you're getting suspended for the headlock part, maybe not so much, you know, something else. Like, it's going to be real interesting to me to see how, A, the NBA viewed this, and B, how they viewed it, and did they feel that there was intent? I think that was what I was going to say, but I don't know if I felt like that was going to be what I actually said. But when they're viewing it, I want them to, I'd be curious if they seen this intent, like that he was, or that was he there to rescue, like what their thoughts are of it. And then it's going to be interesting to me to see the NBA social media world. Like, what's going to be the reaction? Are we just going to, okay, just like what we woke up to and found out what happened last night? Or is there going to be a reaction? Like, are some of us going to be able to kick back and just kind of get a chuckle out of the comments, and either those that are inflared by it or those that just laugh at it? Like, I'm going to be curious. It's Draymond Green. I think this is why there was a lot of us out there that was really wondering at first, was Golden State going to re-sign or extension or whatever it was in this offseason, Draymond Green's contract? Like, because stuff right here, like, there could have been a better way to get Gobert off of Thompson. Now, if we was at a bar fight or at some concert and it was going down, oh, no, Draymond Green was on point, was saving his boy. But we're in an NBA game, and the rules are not played the same. So, I don't know, it's going to be interesting. I think he finally gave up on me. The whole Jim Harbaugh thing. That stuff is, I really think that the Big Ten coaches and ADs and everything else, I think they were too aggressive on wanting this suspension to happen now. Like, as much as it sucks to know this season could have possibly went to Michigan, and not knowing the legitimacy and, you know, how, did you legitimately win these games, or did you only do it through the fact that you stole signals? But I would rather the NCAA and the Big Ten review all the facts. Like, don't rush to make a split rash decision. Because what happens if this gets to be worse? What happens if there is more information out there and we just don't know it yet? You've already dished out a suspension, a 3-game suspension. You're not going to resuspend them. So now you're kind of stuck. You're kind of stuck with what you decided on. Or what happens if Harbaugh now exposes everybody else? Like, I don't know. I don't like the fact that they rushed this decision. I really wish they would have took the time to kind of factor in all the facts and then base a decision off that. I don't know. I don't understand what the big rush was. I don't feel that they're was really, this season's, it is what it is. Like, none of these teams are going to get any their wins back or losses back into wins. It's not like, you know, anything's going to change the directory at this point. The only thing that may factor in any of this is the Ohio State Michigan game. Now that gets played a little bit differently based off of the coaching situation now. So, I don't know. I just, as an Ohio State Buckeye, as one that cannot stand Michigan, I just don't get what the rush was. I don't understand why there was a need to suspend them now and then not know the final outcome. And now you've put yourself in this predicament. I also find it's real interesting that Michigan gets found, gets in trouble for the signal stealing. Now there's talks of them wanting to leave the Big Ten. Like, you get caught cheating and now you want out? Like, is that how this just became? Like, I'm kind of confused. Like, this has been something they've been wanting, or like, you caught us. We're going to take our ball, go home. Like, this is no fun no more. Like, I don't know. It just really odd to me that all of a sudden you want to be out of one of the best conferences there is in the entire NCAA football. With them and the SEC, like, neck to neck. I discuss this all the time when we talk about football. Like, that is, to me, that is the standard. Just like I feel that Duke and UNC are kind of the standard when it comes to basketball. Like, that's just how I am with it. But there's Mario. Let me throw him in here real quick. I see you. I see you. What's going on?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I've been kind of talking to myself for the last 30 or 20 minutes, but I'm doing all right.
Yeah. Okay.
My apologies. I had things I had to take care of real quick and threw everything back behind a little bit.
No, you good?
One, we'll talk about the fight last night. Like I was talking a little bit ago, I want to get your thoughts on the actual whole fight itself, but I'm gonna be curious with the suspensions, how, because like this morning we woke up and it was like no reaction. Like, I don't think there was one single person anywhere that was surprised to find out that Draymond Green did this and is possibly going to be suspended. Like, I just – nowhere did I see a reaction saying this. So I'm real curious, once the suspension comes down, one, is there going to be a reaction? And depending on the length of it, like, what the reaction is going to be. I'm really kind of, and I want to know what the refs, how they view the suspension. They go light because it doesn't look like Draymond Green was really like there to beat him up. He was just grabbing him in the headlock because he had Klay Thompson. Mm. Or does it go in the heavier end because of your past? Plus, it looked like you was just ready for Rudy Gobert to screw up one time, either push you too hard, accidentally swing his hand back. Like, when he went after him, like, this was something he's been waiting on. What's your thoughts on that whole chain of events? Not even 2 minutes into the game. I bet you there's a lot of people who lost a lot of money on the sports book, because I'm assuming people probably thought Klay Thompson and Draymond Green were going to have some more points and assists than normal, because Steph Curry is not out there. He wasn't playing last night. So I'm really curious on the sports book. But what was your thoughts on how everything unraveled?
It was very interesting. You know, they gave him a 5-game suspension. So
did they?
They just did. So
what do you think?
That sounds good. I mean, you can tell Draymond Green got a role on that team. You know what I mean? And his role is stirring stuff up. You know, being the physical player. So, you know, he plays his role. Golden State likes it because they re-signed him. You know what I mean? They gave him extension and all that good stuff. So obviously they know that Draymond Green is a part of the team and championship. But overall, I felt like that how he charged him, how he looked, you know, how serious he was when he had him, you know, all that just felt like he just been waiting on this type of moment to do something.
Yep.
To Rudy. Just how it happened. You know, just how it felt.
I don't think it would even took an incident. I literally think that if Gobert would actually accidentally swung his hand back as he went to go jump up and popped, let's say, Draymond Green in the nuts, I think that's all, like, something simple like that. So I'm interested how they base this suspension, because they were talking about the Beverly Hill – or not Beverly Hill, but Patrick Beverly and his suspension when he came up and pushed the player from behind, and he got 3 games, and he's also had a pass. So I'm curious to what made them decide the 5 games. Was it the look like he went after him? Was it his track history? Or did they not view it as it looked like he had intent, but the fact that it was a headlock, it had to be something. So maybe it was would have been more if it looked like he was intentionally trying to like choke the man out. I don't know, but it's going to be I'm gonna love to see the reactions when I get off the show and tomorrow morning. Another thing that I jumped into was my Cleveland Browns, man. We can't catch a break.
Oh yeah, You can't catch. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's we all. Got to the end of that game, and we had about a minute left. I saw when he took that hit that something went right. They ended up taking an injury timeout because it took him so long to get up, and I was like, something just ain't right. And no report came out the next day. I didn't even ask. And, you know, you feel, okay, maybe, you know, he just had the wind knocked out of him. Feeling real confident 6-3 with our schedule not being super hard the rest of this way out. There's like two teams that's going to be tough. The rest of them are very winnable games with Deshaun Watson back there. And you start to feel like maybe even though we lost Nick Chubb for the season and he just had his second surgery a day or two ago, even though we lost him, we've been finding a way. And even though we didn't have Deshaun Watson for like three of the games or whatever it was, we kept finding ways to win. And just to give it, we got the running game going now. Now it's a legitimate threat. Maybe not the same as with Nick Chubb, but now it's a threat again. And Deshaun Watson, I mean, the second half of that game with a broken shoulder, 14 for 14, 136 yards and a touchdown, like that's probably one of the best halves he's ever put together with the Cleveland Browns. And it was with a broken shoulder. God, can we just have one year that the stars align? Like, either we just don't have the players and nobody ever gets hurt, or we have the players and people get hurt or suspended. Like, I just, oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Very depressing thing, Mario.
I can just imagine how a Cleveland Browns fan would feel, you know. especially after the game, the half, you know, and actually thinking about like, okay, this is Watson right here. This is the Watson everybody been waiting to see right here. Big game, big time moment, and boom, he's out for the season.
And I was surprised that they chose DTR, who had a horrible outing, over P.J. Walker, who I'm not going to say was good. I don't know.
Yeah.
He managed. Like, I don't know if he even threw for 200 yards. But, I mean, we sat there and almost beat Seattle. And with him, we beat the 49ers. We beat – we came back and beat Indianapolis because Deshaun Watson went out early in the game. Like – we're going with DTR, and I'm kind of confused by the decision behind that. Like, why we had one that had a horrible outing. It was like three or four interceptions, no touchdowns. Like, DTR had a horrible outing. Because I'm not going to brag. I'm not going to say it was good, but it managed. And I don't know. I'm kind of confused by this.
Yeah, I mean, my only thing would probably be, I don't know, he probably been making up for it in practice. You know, he got a good upside, you know, from preseason. You know, he looked good. You know what I mean? Like he had a chance. But overall, it just feels weird. You know, y'all got the win. Y'all got a good schedule. You know what I mean? A favorable schedule. All you got to do is get the 10. You know what I mean? You get the 10 and you win there. You know what I mean? But it just sucks. You know what I mean? Just feel bad for Browns, man, because I think this was their year to at least get in the playoffs. And in the playoffs, anything can happen because they have a defense and a running game.
Oh, yeah.
And Watson, you never know. Watson may come out in the second half and be 14 for 14 with a touchdown, you know?
So depressing.
Yeah.
Looks like Colorado Buffalo's football's whole hype train has kind of come to a halt. Like, I know Dion says things here and there. You talked about they're just not ready. We're just not ready to win yet, or something. Like, you went from being a real cocky ass mofo to, well, they're not ready to win yet. Whole, like,
yeah.
We went.
I think it's
yeah.
A,
we
yeah. It's it's a whole, I think, like that situation, I think it's a humbling experience, not just for the team, but also for the coach and Deion. You know, we all know what he can do. We all seen what he can do. You know, the speeches and all that, it does sound good. You know what I mean? But then at the same token, it kind of it get kind of, you know, pushed aside sometimes just because you got to win too. You know, you have to win. You know, speeches sound good when you're winning and losing, but the speeches sound miserable when you're just losing. You understand what I'm saying? But we all know, we all know that he don't got the biggest players, fastest players, nor the strongest players. But at the same token, I want to see some effort. You know what I mean? Put into that team. You know, it's good that he's staying, but you got to win. You got to win too now.
It is crazy to me to sit there and process the fact that this team was really a no team. Like, nobody, I don't think anybody projected him to be in the top 25 when this season started. Mm-hmm. But to be the most talked about, the most searched, the most everything team in the entire football, like, you, at times you forgot that Georgia was number one because everything was about Colorado. And then we had Colorado versus Colorado State and the whole sunglasses. Like, to just to sit there and think about the hype, the just where everything was the first, what, 3, 4, 5 games to now, like, you kind of got to search for what Deion said. Like, it's not a headline. Like, nobody... It's really been bad, and it's how different it is. And it's not like this is a 17-week season. Like, we're only, what, 8 games into the season? Like, you know, whatever we're at this point, like, how quickly that changed so fast. Like, just a snap of a finger and done.
On to the next big topic or next big story, you know. Hopefully Deion can turn around. You know, he already done lost a recruit. You know, he decommitted a wide receiver. But it just, he got to win. He got to put up some effort. But it's a humbling experience for him, too, for sure.
I also talked about Jim Harbaugh, the suspension. Your thoughts on it?
I still want to know. It's kind of like, you know, the investigation thing, you know. I want to hear. I want to see exactly what they got or what they had. You know what I mean? I want to hear. I want to dig more into it, you know, because a situation like that, you know, just speculations and going to an investigation, you know, they talking about it happened this year. You know what I mean? A couple games ago, you know what I mean? It kind of, you know, the suspension kind of happened so fast where I want to see the process of what he did, or, you know, what the coach made somebody else do. You know what I mean? I just felt like it was, I don't know, just rushed a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, as far as, like, you know, he was cheating. Couple weeks now, he's suspended. You know what I mean? Why is he suspended? You know what I mean? Where's the evidence? You know, we've seen the pictures, but I want to see the whole trial process. But it is an interesting story, though.
I was talking about it earlier. I really hate the fact that the coaches, and I'm assuming the ADs of the Big Ten, pushed this rush for this three-game suspension. Like I said earlier, what happens if we've not turned over every stone at this point and there's still more? What is this worse? You already gave the suspension. You can't go back and change it now.
I agree.
What happens when we find out someone else in the Big Ten did it? Now, you know, is this now the bar? Like, it, does this taint anything? Like, could have been lesser because more people were involved? It wasn't just Harbaugh doing to everybody. Like, I'm not – because in my view at this point, the season doesn't change. The teams that they legitimately stole signals from, they're not getting those losses turned into wins. So why sweat – the fact that how, and other than the fact of knowing that you may or may not know, you know, Ohio State, we get the last game of the season. Okay, did you just beat us because you stole our signals, or did you literally, there's that legitimacy part of it. So that part would suck, but to me, there's no point at this point in the season.
Yeah.
Like, why are we just not finish the season out and let you have all summer to figure this out. But instead,
what happens if Michigan wins the championship? You know what I mean? And something else comes out.
As I say, there's going to be one of two ways. Either they're going to be looked as one of the greatest teams to ever win the championship because they have their head coach suspended now. I don't know if it's just three games, just the rest of the season, or the playoff is included in that. I just know it's a three-game suspension, but I don't know if there's any stipulations of playoffs or not. So, but even if he is able to coach the playoffs, okay, you still beat Penn State and Ohio State without Jim Harbaugh. Like, Michigan would have every right to talk some smack. I was trying to remember what I was going to say. The other side of it is, if they win the championship, if they win the championship, you know, as soon as that game's over with, oh, they cheated. And that's what two ways this is going to play out if they went to the championship, and win it. So, either people are going to talk all the smack in the world, or they're going to go down in the history as one of the best teams ever do it because of who they had to beat without Jim Harbaugh. And Jim Harbaugh was suspended at the beginning of the season for giving that kid a cheeseburger or whatever it was. So if they win this championship and Jim Harbaugh is suspended like half the season, I don't see how anybody could argue how good Michigan was. I mean, sign stealing or not, and I guess I even know that's like my arch rival. That's like you and Duke in basketball. Like, I only hold this certain grudge because I'm not confident Ohio State's never done it. I know other colleges do it. I don't know which ones, but Michigan wasn't like, hey, well, all of a sudden we're going to do something that only Bill Belichick's ever done ever in the history of football. We're going to be – no, we're not that stupid. So, like, I only hold a certain grudge because how many other teams are doing it? And I feel if you ain't trying to kind of be in a gray area at times, especially when your program hasn't had the success that it once had or should have, I don't necessarily feel that. I feel that there's a lot of schools out there that are in that same boat and will push that gray area to try to turn their program around so they can start getting better recruits and more scholarships and all that other stuff. So I, as much as that's my arch rival, I can only hold this certain grudge because what if I find out 2 weeks down the road or on the off season that Ohio State was doing the same thing? Like, I don't want to eat crow. Like, you know, I can only hold this grudge to a degree. So I don't know. Was there anything else other than in college football? Georgia did move up over Ohio State. I don't agree with that. honestly, and I had this conversation with my employee, he's a Michigan fan. I feel that honestly, I can't say without a shadow of a doubt that Ohio State should be number one. I feel that it should be Ohio State, Michigan 1-2, and I would be fine right now with it being either way. I think those two are the best programs. I think Georgia's coach is crying, talking about, I don't know how we move from the top spot when we've not lost. Well, you've not played anybody. Like, you got Ohio State and Michigan playing top 10 teams, top 25 teams, and quite regularly this season, and you played like nobody. Like, I think you beat one person that it was ranked. Like, you had, like, the 100th easiest schedule this year. So, I mean, it reminds me so much of the Boise State football program that kept going undefeated or had one lost season, and everybody kept, why can't you guys put them in the – they don't play nobody. That's like, I think it's funny everybody got so hyped on TCU. Well, TCU don't play a bunch of hard teams. So, you know, they had an easy path in their conference and got a playoff spot. And they got crushed right away when they had to play someone legitimate. When they had to play a Big Ten or SEC team, they got smashed. So I that's the only part that I don't agree with is I think Michigan and Ohio State should be 1-2. Was there any other headlines in college football that stick out?
No, not really. Not at the moment.
Did you guys play Duke last weekend?
Yeah, we played Duke. We beat them in two overtime. We took two overtime.
Okay. I thought that I saw that you guys had played each other, but I couldn't remember. I don't think there's anything else really on the top of my head on college football. NFL. Browns had another one of those. You know, I guess my heart probably can thank the whole Deshaun Watson thing, because I don't know how many more games, Mario, I can handle coming down to a four-second left field goal, miss or make by 49ers, or, you know, us kicking another field goal with 15 seconds left on the clock, or us letting Seattle come back on the last drive to take a loss. Like, it has been such a up and down, like, these games in my heart, I don't know. So I guess that part I can be thankful for, but
I feel you. You can just watch football now.
It was a hell of a comeback. It's funny because I was working on I think I was sanding cabinet doors still that day, I was staining the manger scene. We wanted to put that protectant seal it and stain it, so I did that. And I happened to look down at the scores I was seeing. I was checking the sports books, and it had the game on. And because I picked the Browns to win that game, and I was like, oh snap, it's a 1-point game, and there's only a few minutes left. So I'll go run in the house. And then the wife comes upstairs. She goes, you could have watched the game down there. I was watching earlier. We was getting our buzz beat, so I turned it off. I said, yeah, it's not the story no more. It's a 1-point game, and there's only a few minutes left. We got the ball. So, I'm trying to think if there was any other headlines. Didn't the Bengals have it? Yeah, the Bengals lost.
CJ Stroud making a name for itself down here in Charlotte, just because of us not picking him, and so he's definitely making it known down here in Charlotte and in the Carolinas that that Charlotte made a, the Carolina Panthers made a big mistake so far, starting off, you know what I mean? But how things look in the field is that they did. You know what I mean? But who knows?
I'm curious to see, like, we won a lot of games at Ohio State with C.J. Stroud, but there was nothing about him that, like, really impressed me. Like, he was a great quarterback, don't get me wrong. I'm also, I don't get hyped on Big Ten quarterbacks, especially Ohio State quarterbacks, because, I mean, you're throwing to Marvin Harrison Jr. and Nick Jigba or whatever his name is and all these other wide receivers we keep producing. Like, you can make anybody really look good. I could probably go out and look good throwing to these guys. So I don't get all sold into it, but there was nothing that really just, like, amazed me. As a matter of fact, I was kind of upset we didn't keep that Justin Fields didn't stay at Ohio State for another season. I felt him coming back and all those players that were coming back, we had another legitimate shot at making a run at a championship. And, of course, Justin Fields went on, and then we were finding out that the transition from college to football is such a huge difference, and especially when you have an offensive line stacked like Ohio State's recruits and the receivers and the running backs. Like, it's more of an even play field when you have 32 teams and that's it, not a couple hundred colleges. So kind of surprised me, and I'm curious to see how long he's able to keep this up. It's just one of those things where he just a slightly different type of quarterback, and defenses have to adjust like they had to do to Cam Newton, like they had to do to Colin Kaepernick. But once you got into year two and so forth and defenses made these adjustments, you didn't look as good when you first came out the gate because you took those defenses by surprise.
He's a little different. He's to be honest with you, he's a lot – he's not even in the Cam – or Kaepernick category. You know what I mean? As far as his playing style, they're definitely not the same. He throws a lot better. He anticipates a lot better, and he doesn't make mistakes. You know, even though we can only go by from what we've seen and what he's doing and the numbers that he's putting up and the team that he's beaten, you know what I mean? All that speaks for itself. You know what I mean? So what he's doing is very, like, wow, you know, of course everybody's going to be waiting on, you know, when is the slide going to happen. But for right now, he's doing his thing, and he's definitely in as far as the talk, because if he can make them come into the playoffs, oh, man, that's a story within itself after 1 year.
It's been an interesting story. I'm just curious to see, you know, if this is just a rookie thing or – you know, are they going to be able to, is he going to be able to keep this up? So definitely, definitely keep an eye on that. We got, so we'll try to wrap this up. I scheduled it for an hour since we started so late. So we got about 12 minutes. So we're going to run through these picks. We get our picks in, and then I will get them all tallied up. I didn't tally it up last week because I was all tied up with everything. Out this gate, the first game is Cincinnati at Baltimore this Thursday night. I'm conflicted by this. I'm conflicted. Are the Ravens going to come back and have a bounce back game and try to make a statement? Are the Bengals, you know, you're getting to a point that you can't lose too many more games as everybody's above you, the last team in the AFC North. Are you going to play at a different level to keep yourself in the playoff hunt? So I've had mixed feelings. And the other part that's mixed feelings is I need Baltimore. I want Baltimore to lose. That knocks them down to a four-loss team. That keep the Bengals a four-loss team. Depending how the Browns play, either we'll be the only three-loss team or we'll join them as the four-loss team. The Steelers will be the only three-loss team. So conflicted because I'd rather, you know, the Bengals win and help the Browns situation. So trying to decide, I feel if, and I was kind of surprised the defense allowed Lamar put up as many points as, you know, they were able to put up, because as long as you shut down Lamar Jackson, especially how good our secondary is playing, that should have been lights out for us. I'm not 100% confident that I feel the Bengals defense would be able to be up to the same challenge and get the same results. Their defense is nowhere as close as good as the Browns. I mean, the Browns are number one in, like, every category.
Yeah.
So, that being said, I really honestly hope I get this pick wrong, but I have better feelings that I'm going to get this pick right, and I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah. I'm gonna ride the same train with you. You know what I mean? I'm gonna go ahead and hop on Baltimore. But my thing is with Baltimore, they got to start learning how to finish these games. And I think Lamar Jackson got to do a little bit more better, putting some points to. You know what I mean? They do so good, then the teams come back, or they're coming back, and then they stop moving the ball. Like, they can't get no first downs anymore. Or they can't, you know, they can't do anything else, you know what I mean? But, you know, big plays help Baltimore, you know what I mean? Because they got a lot of big play touchdowns, you know what I mean? You really don't see them, like, drive the ball down the field, touchdown, and come back and drive it again, you know what I mean? But I'm going to go Baltimore, even though Burrow is doing his thing, but I'm going to go Baltimore.
Next game on the list, you're up first, will be the Cowboys versus your Panthers.
I'm gonna keep it honest, and I'm gonna keep it realistic. You know what I mean? They got a lot of things. They got a lot of things going on down here in Charlotte, between the offensive coordinator, who's gonna call the plays this week, who's calling the plays last week. You know, they just got a lot, and I'm gonna go ahead and go with the Cowboys.
Yeah, I'm going Dallas as well. There's really not much to talk about. It is funny to me, though, the Cowboys fans, like, you beat one of the worst teams in the NFL. And holy smack, like, Cowboys are now back to the – I don't get it. Like, you beat the Giants.
This
game
will
be a very
– I agree.
This game is going to be a very conflicting game for me as well. I'm going to hope that the first time Deshaun Watson got injured, it was a wake-up call. And so I'm going to hope that DTR, throughout this whole last 4 or 5 weeks, has actually been taking reps with first string just in case something else happened. I also feel that our defense is going to play with a certain chip on their shoulder. This is the Steelers. There's a lot of bad blood there, and I'm sure that now we're the underdogs, even though we're at home because of the quarterback situation. I think that we're probably going to see one of the best performances out of this defense this week. I'm going to hope and pray that DTR comes to play, and I'm going to go with the Browns.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and try to – I don't know where I'm at. I know I lost a couple games last week, but hopefully I can stay ahead or stay even or catch up with this one right here. I'm going Steelers.
Next game on the list, and you are first, the Chicago Bears at Detroit.
That's not hard on me, even though Fields supposed to be coming back. But I don't think Fields can bring. I think his time is done. I'm going with the Lions just to make it quick. I'm going with the Lions.
Yeah, I'm going with the Lions too. Next up, the Chargers at the Packers. I think Chargers are not as bad as their record seems. I think the Packers are probably worse than their record seems. I'm going with the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and ride that same train with you again, and I'm going Chargers.
Cardinals finally get a second win. Houston, C.J. Stroud, the better quarterback. Oh yeah, you're first. Go ahead.
This is a game that you know, you want to keep the good momentum going. So I'm gonna go ahead and go Houston. go ahead and go Houston just because I want to see a good story with C.J. Stroud. I don't want to see him lose this game. But, yeah.
I'm Houston as well. Next game is the Titans in Jacksonville. I think Jacksonville turns it around. I think, regardless of what they said, they're probably embarrassed of last week's loss. I think they come out and play at home in front of their crowd. I got the Jaguars.
Yeah, I'm going Jaguars too.
Next game, Raiders at Miami. Who you got?
Oh, the Raiders story, I think, has to come to an end, and I'm going Dolphins.
I am going Dolphins as well. Next one on the list is Giants at Washington. I don't think I'll ever pick Giants to win a game this year. As a matter of fact, I don't think they're going to try to win so they can secure the number one draft pick. Mari, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go Washington, too. They got a lot of things to figure out down up there in New Jersey.
Tampa Bay travels to San Francisco. Who you got?
I'm definitely going San Francisco.
For now as well, looks like Brock Purdy has turned the season back around. We'll see. People act like this is like this horrible stretch are still 6-3. It's like not like they got a losing record. It's just crazy how people talked about the 49ers. Jets at Bills. This game now becomes a little tougher of a pick. Seems like the Bills are falling apart. Jets seem to be able to win games, and there's hope that Aaron Rodgers will be back this season. I think Buffalo, even though they fired the head coach, I think that is part of the issue that I didn't like a lot of the play calling I watched against the Denver game. I'm going with the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I'm going Buffalo Bills too, but if the players would have been on the field, and they would miss that kick, the offensive coordinator would have still been there. You know what I mean? And all the drop and Allen got to take some responsibility. He is a little goofy with that football. You know what I mean? He is like he really think that he can get it in any type of window between three and four players. But I'm going Buffalo too. But they got some issues. They got some issues they got to figure out.
Seattle at the Rams. You pick first.
Ooh, I'm going to go ahead, even though Matt Stafford's coming back, I don't think it's enough, and I'm going to Seattle.
I agree 100%. Vikings at Denver. Now this game becomes an interesting game. Dobbs has been doing his thing for the Vikings, but all of a sudden Russell Wilson and the Broncos become one of the hottest teams. It's crazy how this has all changed, and this is going to be crazy. The fact that I'm actually going to pick the Broncos. I'm taking Broncos over Vikings.
Yeah, I'm also taking the Broncos over the Vikings, too. I think they figured something out. They got a feel-good story up there in Minnesota, but I think it comes to an end this week.
Crazy Monday night game. You got the Eagles at the Chiefs. Who you got?
You know, this is the game that I think the Eagles will feel good and look good in winning. Even though I haven't gave up on Kansas City, but I want to see the Eagles. I'm going with the Eagles.
I think for those that have not gotten sick of Taylor Swift by the end of this week, I think everybody will be done and over wanting to hear about Taylor Swift. I think it's funny. It don't bother me none. Now they're talking about whose jersey she should wear and everything else because you got the Kelce brothers. I think the Chiefs are going to win. I think that they're at home. I think it's time for the Chiefs to start kicking into that second gear. They've not been the Chiefs we had known. I think this is an opportunity at home. This is going to be a very highly viewed game. This is going to be a crazy game to watch. Not necessarily between the two, just the hype around everything, the Swift, the Kelce, Travis Kelce, and even the two Kelce brothers and their podcast. Like, that's a hell of a podcast for those that have not listened to it. So I think this is going to be one hell of a build, especially being a standalone game on a Monday night. I can only imagine what this is going to be. It's almost going to feel like the Super Bowl, with all this going on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mario, let them know where they can find you, social, what you got going on, all that stuff.
Okay. You can check us out at on social media at Carolina Sports Plus on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can catch us online at CarolinaSportsPlus.com. We got a lot of good things going on. But right now, you know, it's all about Christmas and getting this mobile store together. So that's what we're currently working on. But see y'all next week.
Make sure you guys check out our site, the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network.com. It's got our blogs, videos, show schedules, and all the shows. I don't know if I said that or not. We're on all the major platforms, Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, Amazon, you name it. Make sure you guys just go over there, follow us, so you guys can catch all the shows. And like us on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Looking forward to being back in the studio next Wednesday night. I am sure the NBA, NFL, and NCAA especially are not going to disappoint. So looking forward to it. Mario, you have a great week, and we'll catch up later.
You too.